Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's EAN Cast, which is on dementia, and specifically on gut microbiota and influence on Alzheimer's disease. My name is Christian Steen Frederiksen, and I'm a neurologist at the Danish Dementia Research Center in Copenhagen, Denmark, and I'm also the co-chair of the EAN Scientific Panel on Dementia and Cognitive Disorders. And it's my really great pleasure to welcome to the EAN cast my co-chair on the panel, Assistant Professor Svetlana Tomic. Welcome, Svetlana.
Thank you, Christian.
And Svetlana, I can just tell the listeners that you graduated from the University of Zagreb as a medical doctor in 1992, and you've gone on to do a PhD in neurodegenerative disease, focusing on Parkinson's disease, and you're currently an assistant professor at the Faculty of Medicine in the at the University of
Osijek.
Thank you for your help. And you're also the head of the Department of Neurodegenerative and Neuromuscular Diseases. Okay. So, Svetlana, today we're talking about the gut microbiome. And I think it would be great for our listeners just to have an introduction. So can you tell us a bit on the general thing about what is the microbiota, what is the composition, how does it develop, what's the variability, and what influences the microbiome?
Okay, well, intestinal microbiota, which is also called the forgotten organ, is ecological community of symbionts, commensals, and pathogenic microorganisms that are consisting mostly from bacteria, but also from viruses, protists, fungi, and archaea. It counts about 100 billion microorganisms, and one third of the microbiota is identical to the human population, while two thirds is identical to an individual. So each of us has our own unique microbiota as microbiota fingerprint. Unlike the genome, which is not variable, the gut microbiota is very dynamic and changes throughout life. We have known for many factors that influence, such as diet, stress, infection, the use of antibiotics, and the host genetics. Nutrition and stress proved to be the most significant modulating factors. First, the development of the gut microbiota start still in uterine, and it depends on mother nutrition. And development go further during the birth period. And after that, developed with increase in size and diversity, with influence of hormones during the period of puberty. The richest and the most diverse microbiota is in adulthood. And after that, as we getting older, the microbiota decrease in the number and diversity and usually start become pro-inflammatory.
Okay, so I guess it's not quite obvious to everyone how the microbiota and the brain is connected. Could you tell us a bit about how the two are linked?
Yes, there are many ways in which the gut microbiota is connected and communicates with the nervous system. One is direct connection that takes place in hierarchical sequence via the enteric nerve system, sympathetic ganglia, and the vagal nerve. The other way is through stimulation of immune, both acquired and innate system, by bacterial antigens that stimulate, and this stimulation leads to secretion of cytokines, chemokines, neurotransmitters, neuropeptides, and endocrine transmitters that go to the blood and lymphatic systems or stimulate with enteric nerve system, the vagal nerve. Next interaction is through the hormone production, where bacterial products can stimulate some endocrine cells to produce hormones and also can stimulate some cells to produce neurotransmitters. It is also the main source of branched-chained amino acids such as valine, leucine, and isoleucine that are considered essential amino acids and very important in many functions of our body. Besides this, gut microbiota also produce bile acids that can also interact with the immune system. And the most important among all that molecules are short-chain fatty acids that are product of bacterial fermentation of non-degradable fibrous food. These short-chain fatty acids has impact on numerous functions in the body, including the functioning of gastrointestinal tract, blood pressure regulation, circadian rhythm, and neuroimmune function. Besides this, certain building structures of intestinal bacteria, such as lipids, glycans, proteins, and nucleic acids, create so-called pathogen-associated molecular patterns, such as lipopolysaccharides and peptidoglycans, that can go into the circulation and have ability to interact with the host immune system. And in addition of this all ways of communication, there is also communication through the spinal pathway and hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. So we can see that intestinal microbiota is in imbued communication with the human body and can greatly influence the functioning of the human body.
So there's really a number of different mechanisms by which the microbiota can influence the central nervous system. Perhaps we could touch a bit more specifically on the neuroinflammatory aspect of the interaction between the microbiota and the brain, which is perhaps one of the best sort of known or perhaps most widely acknowledged interactions. Could you talk a bit about that?
Okay. Well, neurodegenerative disease have underlying pro-inflammatory activities that triggers a cascade of neurodegeneration with the deposition of pathological proteins. Depend on the type of the protein and its localization, clinical presentation of different types of neurodegenerative disease developed. Study that have evaluated influence of intestinal microbiota on neuroinflammation show us that intestinal microbiota can be a trigger factor for the development of neuroinflammation and possible cause of this disease. We have seen that lipopolysaccharides, that are products of gram-negative bacteria, can stimulate toll-like receptor 4 and thus activate immune innate and acquired system and intestinal epithelial cell. In addition to lipopolysaccharides, short-chain fatty acids, secondary bile acids, and metabolites of tryptophan that also are produced by bacteria can stimulate the immune system. Activation of this immune system as myeloid and lymphoid immune cells that are located in meninges cause the secretion of cytokines and drain into the cerebrospinal fluid, and then can be transported also via the lymphatic system to the brain parenchyma. There, they modulate glial cells, both microglia, astrocytes, and oligodendrocytes, which then leads to endogenous production of cytokines in the brain. Such pro-inflammatory state also increase permeability of blood-brain barrier, which cause immune system cells to enter the CNS. And besides this, these pro-inflammatory cytokines lead to increased expression of adhesive molecules on endothelial cells, which further increase inflammation of the infiltration of the CNS by T cells. Besides this, studies have presented that not only this indirect stimulation of immune system persists, but also some parts of bacteria can also directly reach the CNS and stimulate neuroinflammation there. Lipophilic metabolites cross the blood-brain barrier with while hydrophilic metabolites cross at specific anatomical location where the blood-brain barrier is absent, such as circumventricular organ and choroid plexus.
Thank you for that overview. I'm just wondering, what exactly is the role of microglia in this interaction between, if we're talking specifically about the brain, and the microbiota, which has drawn, so microglia are probably to some extent involved in the neurodegenerative process and the pathophysiology of AD. But is this connected somehow to the microbiota?
Yes. Microglia are the most significant source of cytokines in the CNS. It is essential for maintaining homeostasis in the brain and healthy microenvironment. But on the other hand, excessive activation of microglia causes a pro-inflammatory state. Thus, today we know that microglia can have several functional states from homeostatic morphology called M0 state through disease-associated microglia called DAM and to microglia in neurodegeneration called MGND profile. On all these functional profiles of microglia can influence bacterial products from gut microbiota with most pro-inflammatory and negative influence, but also some example as short-chain fatty acid is that these molecules can promote functional changes of microglia towards the manifestation of homeostatic M0 phenotype and inhibit the production of pro-inflammatory cytokines. So most of these bacterial products induce microglia to transform to pro-inflammatory state. Beside microglia, in this pro-inflammatory state, astrocytes are also involved, and there are synthesis of oxygen and nitrogen radicals. We have also evidence on synthesis of some neurotransmitters and microbial amyloid proteins and secondary bile acids that also induce pro-inflammatory states. And a recent study published on germ-free mice, that are mice that are born and developed and grow in a sterile condition, showed that microbiota can not only influence on the inflammatory state, but also had a neuromodulatory role where they can induce and change the gene expression not only in microglia cells, but also in the medial prefrontal cortex. And this process was not correlated with neuroinflammation and persisted even after vagotomy, which speaks in favor of the direct influence on neuronal activity.
Interesting. So are there other ways outside of microglia that the microbiota may influence the brain and the neurodegenerative process in Alzheimer's disease?
Yes, through this synthesis of neurotransmitters, astrocytes, microbial amyloid protein, and secondary bile acids.
Okay. So there's a host of different mechanisms by which the microbiota may influence the brain. I'm just wondering if we try to dive a bit into the pathophysiology of Alzheimer's disease in relation to the microbiota. Do we know anything about what the specific composition is in patients with the microbiota, for example, relative to other neurodegenerative disorders or persons who do not have dementia? What are the differences that we are seeing?
Yes, there was two large clinical studies, one in USA and one in Italy, and six clinical studies from China, which have analyzed intestinal microbiota in patients with Alzheimer's disease. And all these studies showed diverse data without clear agreement about increasement or decreasement of some specific bacterial species, which was explained by authors in geographical and ethical differences. But despite these differences, all studies have presented that dysbiosis was observed in all patients with increase in pro-inflammatory and decrease in anti-inflammatory bacterial levels. Similar results have presented the study with that analyzed gut microbiota in patients with mild cognitive impairment, where they also present decrease in anti-inflammatory bacteria compared to the healthy group with the predominance of pro-inflammatory bacteria. And all these bacteria can induce that a pro-inflammatory can induce microglial activation and induce pro-inflammatory states. Besides this, authors also notice that patients that that have presence of epsilon 4 allele of apolipoprotein E had more influence on gut microbiota with lowering of the level of bacteria that are producer of protective short chain fatty acid. So this patient had even worse microbiota dysbiosis.
Okay, so it sounds like it's still quite early days in terms of understanding the interaction between the microbiota and the brain and what role the microbiota might play in the pathophysiology of Alzheimer's disease. But I wonder if you care to just talk us a bit through, do you see this as a viable way of treating patients with Alzheimer's disease? Do we know anything about how we could manipulate the microbiota in terms of making it more favorable in terms of Alzheimer's disease, preventing Alzheimer's disease or treating Alzheimer's disease? What do we know? What can we say?
Yes, we have a few studies that were conducted on the Alzheimer's disease-like mouse model with some specific genes. Some of the study use cocktail of antibiotics that have shown reduction in amyloid levels after this cocktail of antibiotics. And the authors also noticed the gender difference in the response, with a better response in the male than in the female. And they comment this, that this response was hormonally mediated. Also study inhibition of peripheral tumor necrosis factor alpha was used, also in AD-like mouse model. Show that in these mice there was prevention in cognitive impairment with a parallel decrease in CNS pathology that are AD-like and less neuroinflammation. Similar study was also with interleukin-1 beta inhibitors in AD-like mouse model, and these authors also observed the preservation of cognitive function and the reduction of microglia activation and the formation of tau pathology.
Do you see manipulation of the microbiota in terms of treatment more something that is relevant for patients who have progressed to symptomatic AD, so in the dementia stage, or are you seeing this as more something that could be used to prevent the development of cognitive impairment? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, this is the, I think, most important part of this interview. Several approaches were evaluated, such as use of prebiotics and probiotics, fecal microbiotic transplants, and nutrition intervention. Results from studies with prebiotics and probiotics in rodent models present a reduction in neuroinflammation and expression of markers of microglial activation. They also observed increase in brain expression of genes associated with brain plasticity. When using short-chain fatty acid as a treatment, they have noticed the alleviation of synapse disruption by inhibiting of neuroinflammation and also improving cognitive function by reducing oxidative stress. Also, pre and probiotic study present reduction in lipopolysaccharide influence on the neurotransmitters. And in one study where the combination of probiotics with memantine were used in rodent models, they noticed improving synaptic plasticity and reduce AD-related pathology. In human studies, results are contradictory, and those studies present only treatment response in mild disease stage. One study that used patients with Alzheimer's disease in mild stage shows statistically significant improvement in mini mental score examination, and a similar study with a mild cognitive impairment patient also noticed improvement in cognitive function. But two other studies, patient with moderate to advanced Alzheimer's disease, did not show improvement in cognitive function nor a reduction in markers of inflammation. Also is important to notice that one study even showed negative impact of probiotic treatment with the consequent deterioration of cognitive function. So we can see that in rodent models, different response to prebiotics and probiotics when compared to the human. Study with using fecal microbiota transplant were done only in rodents. We don't have any human studies. And study with rodents had very good results. They present in AD mouse model a significant reduction in AD pathology after administration of a healthy mouse fecal microbiota transplant, with increase in short chain fatty levels, decrease in AD pathology accumulation, decrease in inflammatory markers, and improvement in synaptic proteins. A study that use a different approach, it means the mouses got pathological fecal microbiota transplanted from AD-like donors, show reverse sequence of events with accelerated accumulation of plaques, deterioration of cognitive function, and reduction in hippocampal neurogenesis and increased microglial activation and expression of pro-inflammatory cytokines in the hippocampus and the plasma. And as for the influence of diet, last year was published one barely large study on 581 autopsy subjects that was conducted in Rush Memory and Aging Project. In this study, respondents have during the lifetime to kept complete information about their diet through validated questionnaire, and after they have a disease on the autopsy, the presence of AD pathology was monitored. And result of this study showed that individuals who were the most consistent in applying the Mediterranean diet had an average lower beta amyloid load, similar to the 18 years younger person. And those who were adhered best to the MIND diet had an average lower amount of beta amyloid, similar to the people that was 12 years younger. And the best results were seen on those who ate 7 or more servings of green leafy vegetables per week that had the less AD pathology. So in conclusion, with all this study, we can say that there are evidence that gut microbiota influence on the brain, not only in health, but also in disease process, with a possible intervention on neurodegenerative disease with food intervention and fecal microbiota transplants.
Thank you very much, Svetlana. I think we need to wrap up for today, but it's been a very exciting talk you've given here, and I've certainly learned a lot about the microbiota and neurodegenerative diseases, so thank you very much for that. And I guess in conclusion, we can say that this is a really exciting field, but we're also very much in the early days, and treatment based on this approach might be some years into the future, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Yes. Also, I will point out that Hippocrates already mentioned that food is very important for our health. And he told his patient, let food be your treatment. So he already noticed the importance of the healthy microbiota on the people health.
So standing on giants, we could say, with the microbiota. That's good. Okay, so we'll wrap this up, and I want to thank all our listeners out there, and see you next time.
See you also. Bye.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EAN Cast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.